Amen.
I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I've been up there. I've heard it.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter number 15, John's Gospel, chapter number 15. We are trying to emphasize this month the subject of prayer. Be great if you would pray about your praying, meditate on prayer, read books on prayer. That's probably one of the areas in our life that needs the most work. How many would agree with that?
Yes.
And sometimes it's easy for us to be satisfied with being consistent with a prayer time in the morning and then in the evening, not realizing that even if you have developed a measure of a consistent prayer life, that the Lord really wants you to draw closer and closer to Him. And that's really the intention and aim of our message this morning in John chapter 15. The essential of prayer. I think sometimes we miss what it is that God is really trying to do, what is really necessary for us to have a life of prayer, a life of prayer. And so I pray that God would help us this morning to communicate that to you. I'm in the learning process myself. I'm a student of prayer. I'm in the classroom of prayer. just like you are. I know this is one of those areas I need the Lord to teach me much more about. And just because you know a promise or two and you can pray doesn't mean that's the end of what God wants to do with you being an intercessor or praying. So let's ask God to speak to us this morning through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. John chapter 15, verse number 1. Jesus is speaking here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit," notice what He does, "He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He's not just satisfied with it bringing forth fruit. He wants to see even more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Did you catch that?
Amen.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples or students. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us. And Lord, we often feel like the woman that had the issue of blood when we've tried everything for 12 years. Sought for healing, and instead of any improvement, we were made the worse at the hands of the physicians. And yet, Lord, when she was able to break through the press of the crowd and touch just the hem of your garment, immediately she was made whole. Lord, we need to touch the hem of your garment today. We need spiritual wholeness. Spiritual healing. We need illumination and a better understanding. Lord, often when we think of prayer, we think of just receiving something from you. And God, I do ask that you'd help us to see one of the most important things about prayer is just being with you. So, Lord, please let your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In fact, He is the only teacher that's qualified. Lord, unless you speak to us and open up our understanding, we'll leave, Lord, insufficient in our knowledge of prayer, the essential of prayer. So, Lord, guide my mind and my mouth. Help me to say what needs to be said and bring to my mind the thoughts that, Lord, I've not even considered, but that you know needs to be spoken so that your people can get the help that we need this morning. If there is those here today that are unsaved, they're lost, if they died today, they would be dropped off into hell. We pray, God, that you would cause them to fear the judgment of God and, Lord, cause them to seek after the righteousness of Christ and, Lord, help them that they might be saved in this very service. Lord, please add to our church daily such as should be saved. And help us this morning, please. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible reveals to us a lot about the subject of prayer. God has been gracious to us to give us many passages that not only speak of the promise of prayer, but even show us people as they prayed. And then God answering their prayers. God has done much to help us to understand the subject of prayer. And yet I think we still really miss what it is that He wants from us in prayer. It's not just so that we might receive things from His hand, though that's important because when we receive things from His hand, we know that He hears us. It's important that we know that God hears us. Amen?
Amen?
So when we're praying about a matter and God answers that prayer, what rejoicing there should be that we have access to His ear. God has heard our petition and He's responded to our requests. But it's not just about getting things from God. What God is trying to develop in us is a constant communion with Him or constant, as John writes the words of Jesus, abiding in him. That's what he's trying to develop. Continual fellowship. I do believe that's what the Apostle Paul was praying about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he tells us to pray without ceasing. It's not that we would just close our eyes and get on our face and pray 24/7. That's not even practical, so we know that's not what Paul is talking about. And he's not really talking about being persistent in your praying until you get an answer. He's talking about a life of prayer, praying continuously throughout the day, being in current fellowship with God. And so I think this morning, as we look into his word, that God will help us to see this. We know from the Bible there are things that would hinder our prayer life, and God has been gracious enough to us to give us plain passages that tell us why sometimes we don't receive things from God. Why do I need to know if I'm receiving something from God myself? Because I need to know that I'm in touch with heaven. That me and Christ are in fellowship. That we are in a right relationship with one another. And so he gives us a multitude of things. I've listed some this morning. Most of these you might know. I think one of the biggest reasons we don't receive things from God is because we really don't ask. It's amazing that James has about three or so things that hinder prayer in his little epistle. He says in James chapter 4 and verse 2, that you have not, at the end of that verse, you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times as a Christian, you're wishing for something, you're wanting something, you're craving something, you really hope that God will do this, but you've not asked God to do it. And until you ask God to do it, he's not going to do it. Why? Not just because that thing needs to be done or that thing is something that is necessary in your life, but so that you can begin to learn how to have fellowship with God, receive things from God, and be in a right standing with God. You have not because you ask not. How many Christians really don't ask God for much at all? They don't even expect an answer from God anymore. When the testimony should be from believers of continual answers to prayer. Praying even about common little things, immediate answers to prayer. If you get a chance to read some of George Mueller's writings on prayer, he was an amazing man of faith and prayer. And he gives a list of things, dates that he received an immediate answer to prayer, sometimes within the hour. You see, sometimes we're praying and we're not even expecting the answer within the hour, are we? Some of you probably read this about him as one of those illustrations. He was going back over to England after visiting the United States, and you had to have your own chair back then. They didn't have chairs on the ships, and so he was trying to get this certain chair for his wife so her traveling would be easier, and it was almost time for the ship to leave and the chair was not there. And so what is a man of faith and prayer or someone who is walking in fellowship with God to do in a situation like that? To say, well, I guess God is not going to send it. No, he bowed his head and said, Lord, you know we need this. Please send it speedily. Only to lift up his eyes in a little while and see the chair on top of a cart coming rapidly toward the ship. That's just one of many prayers that he received immediate answers to. That was a man that walked in constant fellowship with God. And that, this is what I want you to get about the essential to prayer. It's really about being in that state of fellowship.
Yes.
Being mindful of God's presence, being directed by the Holy Spirit, being in tune with heaven. That's, no matter who you are as a believer, that should be the goal that you and I are pressing toward. We're reaching toward. I'm not just satisfied with being saved. I want to live in the presence of God, and I want God directing my steps 24/7. You say, preacher, that's not possible. It is possible because our Lord lived that way. And the life that He lives, He now gives to us so that we can live the life He lived as well. His disciples lived that way. Church fathers lived that way. The testimony is abundant. It's that we have simply dropped the ball and we're no longer pursuing this that I think is really what God desires for all of us. We don't have because we don't ask. James then adds another reason, verse 3 of James chapter 4, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, wrongly, selfishly, to consume it upon your own lust. What is God trying to change? He's trying to change you from being the self-centered I. Life is all about me. What's one of the major problems in America now? Everybody riding down the road thinks the roads are for me. Everybody else is supposed to get out of my way. When there's a problem at work, everybody's here to solve my problem. It's all about me. And He's trying to deliver you from that constant looking to what you don't have or what you lack or what you need, looking from that to looking to Him and beginning to pursue what God's will is in this world. I don't think I'm raising the bar too high. I don't think I'm raising the bar at all when it comes to what God really wants when He wants us to have a life of prayer. He said, you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. If we ask selfishly, God says, you're not going to receive an answer to that. Your three-year-old child comes and asks for the keys to the car. Are you going to give them the keys to the car?
No.
If they ask for other things that you know is not good for them, are you going to give those things to them? No. One of the things we're trying to do as parents is teach our children not to be so selfish. And thirdly, he said, James also includes this, you don't have because you ask and you're not believing when you ask. You don't ask in faith. How many of y'all remember that?
Amen.
He said, when you're going through trials and difficulties and problems, ask God for wisdom. You know, sometimes we don't even do that. We're going through a turmoil, a problem in our life, a bad situation, troubled times. And we don't stop and say, God, what is this about? Give me wisdom. Is this an attack from the devil? Is this you purifying my faith? Is this you wearing my backside out because of disobedience? How many of y'all know in all three of those things, you pray differently?
Amen.
If he's wearing your backside out because of disobedience, the only thing to pray is, God, forgive me.
Exactly.
I repent. You can't repent when He's purifying your faith.
No.
What do you pray then? God, strengthen me to endure the trial.
Yeah.
Do the work that you're doing. Purify me as pure as you can get me through this difficulty.
Yes.
Let the cross have its full effect on my heart and life.
Yeah.
He said in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, when you're asking for wisdom, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't doubt. For he that wavereth or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Then look at what he says in verse 7, chapter 1, James. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When I'm praying about something and I'm not believing that God is going to give it to me, or according to this verse, I believe He will, and then I believe He won't, and then I believe He will, and then I believe He won't, and then I believe He will, and then I believe He won't, He said, don't expect an answer. Amen. It's not just when I don't believe, it's when I'm wishy-washy in my faith. How many of y'all all been there, right? It's a preacher, I try. What do I do when I get there? It's just beat me to the punch. Then is when you pray, Lord, help my unbelief, settle my heart to trust you in this matter. Give me victory in this. If it's a promise from God, how dare we doubt His promise and call God a liar? That's what we're doing when we doubt His promise. Amen? What did Peter say? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, if your relationship with your spouse is not right, your wife is not right, your prayers would be hindered. Right? 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them that is your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being joint heirs together of the grace of life. What? That your prayers... What is he doing? Why is he including, okay, me and my wife are having a problem. What does that have to do with my prayer life? If you're out of fellowship in the home, you're out of fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Amen? If things ain't right in the home, things aren't right with Him either. And you may want to act like they are, but they are not. Especially when He's instructed us to love our wives sacrificially. He said, if you're not having, you're at odds with your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. Here's one we often forget, Proverbs 21:13. If we ignore the poor, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And so before I deal with the remaining ones that really touch closer to the topic, even all of these indicate that it's more than just about saying words while I'm on my knees. Amen. How many of y'all do you see that, right? All these warnings. I want you to ask me, why does God want to, He knows what I need. He said that in Matthew, right? Chapter 6. Your Father already knows what needs you have. Why does He want me to ask? And if He already knows what my need is, why don't He just give it to me? Because if He gives it to me without me asking, He's not going to help me in my fellowship with Him. I have all these blessings, but I never will acknowledge the blesser. If I don't have to agonize in prayer and spend time with God and cry out to God, then I'm never going to work on my relationship with God like I need to. And sometimes when we're praying about something, these are some caveats. Delays are not a refused answer. So sometimes you're praying for something, but you don't get the answer. That's not God saying no. That's not even God saying wait. That's God saying, keep on asking me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. All right, come again. Come back again. Delays are not a refusal to answer. It's not a no. You see that in the Bible. Daniel prayed. As soon as he prayed, the answer was given. He wasn't told about the answer until 21 days later. But the answer was immediate, right? And then there are those occasions as well that the best thing God could do for us is to say to us, no. But let me say this, even when God says no, He's saying it to us in fellowship and encouragement. He's still drawing closer to us, and He wants that no to draw us closer to Him. So an example of that, all of us know, is Paul's prayer in 2 Corinthians, when he's asking God to remove the thorn in the flesh, a physical malady that's hindering him from preaching, going, and traveling like he'd love to. It's wearing on him, and he's saying, God, if you'll take this away, I can do a better job. I can go further and last longer and do more if you take this away for your kingdom. And God says, Paul, I'm not going to take that away because this is going to make you spiritually strong. I love Paul's response. How many of y'all remember what his response is? Therefore, I will glory in mine infirmity. Most of us hadn't got there, have we? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do I have this thorn so that I can have power? Thank you, God, for the thorns. That's not a prayer that you normally hear people pray, right? So back here to our thought here in John. Just that those are some delayed answers. Doesn't mean that God's not listening. Your fellowship's broken. It means God is at work, drawing you closer to Himself. Even sometimes when God says no, doesn't mean that God is rebuking you or there's a problem there in your relationship with Him. It means that God has something far better, and He wants you to yield to even that no. So what is Jesus trying to get across here in John chapter 15? First of all, I want you to think about this, the guidance that the Bible gives us concerning sin. Sin. Why is God so hard on sin? Because sin is at the root of our broken fellowship with God. That's the thing that hinders us from really drawing close to the Father and maintaining a closeness to God. That's why the devil works so hard to try to get you and I to sin. He's trying to keep us away from the Father in fellowship with Him, and God is working at drawing us to Himself in continual fellowship with Him. And so the devil hates us having fellowship with God. And that's why he throws out so many little things of testings and temptations and problems. Proverbs 15, verse 29 says this. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the... Don't want to just guess what that word is? The righteous. If I'm living in sin and disobedience and rebellion, God said, I'm not close to you. You're not near to me. We're not in oneness. I can't agree with that. Listen to Isaiah 1, verse 15. Isaiah 1, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Isn't that something? Oh, God, help us. Please help us. And God said, I turn my eyes away from you when you lift up your hands to me. Ever had it when your little child or grandchild does that, as they stretch out the arms? What's the natural response? And it doesn't take but just a... You don't even have to think about it. They're in your arms in just a moment. And God said, you're stretching out my arms. He loves us far more than we could love our child or our grandchildren. Amen?
Amen.
And yet He turns His eyes away. What would cause God to turn His eyes away? Yay. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You stretch out your hands, but the problem is you got bloody hands. You're offering up prayers, but the problem is you're covered in blood. You've murdered, you've killed, you've harmed people. How can I bless you and hear your prayers when you've harmed people, murdered others? I can't do that. Remember what James said again? You lust and desire to have, you kill and cannot obtain. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. So what's the problem then? Right? God's ear is not too full of hearing. He can hear. If his hand can reach, then there's no problem. Oh, it is a problem though. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know this is familiar. The psalmist said this in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What is God doing with that? Here I'm holding on to a sin. I will not let that sin go. I know it's there, and I don't want it to leave. I see it. I regard it. It's there. I know it's there, and I want it to stay. And God said, if that's the case, I'm not going to hear you. Not until you deal with that. Don't come to me with sin on your heart and think that I'm going to have fellowship with you. And immediately the windows of heaven are shut. You and I can't get a prayer through. And by the way, sometimes people stay in that state a long time. About you, just go through your mind right now and go through the scriptures, and you'll see how many times that God said to a people that's sinful and ungodly, I will no longer hear your prayers. Now let me say this to you. There is always grace.
Yes, it is.
I'm amazed at God's grace. Grace in this sense, that there's not one single person here this morning that is sinless. When God looks at us, He may be looking at a multitude of sins that you and I have never even, it's not registered on my mind and heart yet. And yet God is gracious enough to hear our prayers and answer prayer. It's a marvelous thing about God. Amen? He's not obligating himself to do that. If I know sin is there and persist in it, he says, I will not hear, but there's sins there that I don't even know about. And yet, guess what? What does he do? He hears my prayers. Isn't that amazing? I think of King Manasseh. When he brought the idols into the holiest of holies, where only the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, were to be, he brought idols into that holy of holies. Got carried away into captivity. Thought about his sin. And the Bible said he humbled himself. And when he humbled himself, God heard him. Even a man that would bring idols into the holiest of holies, how merciful must God be to hear Manasseh's prayers? We never will, on this side of eternity, understand why Jonah despised Nineveh so much. But if we lived in Jonah's day, we probably would not be laughing at Jonah or opposing Jonah. We probably would be on Jonah's side. If we saw the vile things that the Assyrians had done to the Israelites, saw their great wickedness, we probably would not want God to forgive them either. Hey, be honest now. I'll tell you about myself. When I heard they got Osama bin Laden, I said, yes! That's not the right response. You know what that is? That's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's not loving your enemies. He died. If he died unrepentant, he went immediately to hell. How can I rejoice about a man dying and then going to hell? That's not the Christian response. They told another Christian pastor that. He was broken. He started saying, oh, no. He said, what's going on? He said, listen, if we had cared about them and tried to get the gospel to them these past many years, they may have never even come over here and attacked us to begin with. I don't know if that's a true statement or not, but it's a far greater response than my response. Brokenness instead of joy. So if we were in Jonah's day, we might be right. But even Nineveh, when it was announced that they would perish, they prayed, fasted. And what did God do? God said, okay, I won't destroy you. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm just not getting any prayers through hardly. I'm praying, but I'm not getting any answers at all. You know, I want to start here. So, God, is there something in me that is I'm done, that maybe I've forgotten about it? And you're not going to really have fellowship with me until I deal with it. We're in our Sunday school, last Sunday we studied chapters 1 through 29 in 1 Chronicles. But we're going through 1 Kings. Y'all may remember some of the kings and how they lived. And yet when they repented, God still heard their prayer. So, you know, it's fascinating that God really wants to hear and answer our prayers because He really wants there to be unfettered fellowship with us. That's what God is longing for. And sometimes He is merciful and gracious just to kind of remove the dam that's been built and try to get the flow coming back again. But out of these examples I gave you, God responded to repentant men. It may be that you and I need to search our own heart and say, God, if I don't want my prayer life hindered. I don't want my fellowship with you hindered. Here, I think in John's Gospel, chapter 15, this beautiful picture Jesus gives us is the goal.
Yes, it is.
This is what God really wants. Not dead branches. But He wants us to abide in Him, to remain with Him, to have constant fellowship with Him. That's what He's working on all the time. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, He says. There's a lot of definitions of that little word abide. Some of you may have dwell, remain. You may not have this definition, but I think this definition is really what He's trying to get to. Depend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what He's really trying to get to is that you and I have to depend on Jesus always.
Always.
He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always going to be with me. The Holy Ghost has indwelt me, and He will abide with me forever. That's God's promises concerning His part towards me, right? But what about my part toward Him? I need to be growing in my dependence on the Lord Jesus. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school, but what God wants from us is that we bring everything to Him in prayer. Everything to Him in prayer. And by the way, if our fellowship with Him is increasing, it's not a burden. It's not... It would be just like Brenda and I walking down and holding hands and saying to one of them, hey, what do you want to do for lunch?
Yes.
And she says, well, it don't matter. Whatever you want to do. And I said, well, it don't matter to me either. What do you want to do? And that conversation probably goes on for a while, the same one back. That's the goal. The goal is to be with God, to fellowship with God, to listen to God.
Yes.
To be constantly dependent upon God. My pastor, Brother Otis, he's also my father-in-law. Sometimes if you'll ask him a question, you say, Brother Otis, what do you think about this? He does something strange. What do you think about so-and-so? And he'll say,
he
And I'm saying, okay now. Did you hear me? You know what he's doing? That's exactly what he's doing. He can give any answer right off the cuff. He wants to give the answer that God wants. People ask me all the time, Brother Tom, what do you think about this? And immediately I pray, Lord, I am not wise. I have no answers. I don't know what to say. You know what the need is.
Yes.
You help me to tell them what the need is.
Yeah.
When I started working at Sawcross, they would let me, they wanted me to drive a truck and trailer. And I'm not like Bruce and some farmers. I've driven truck and trailers my entire life. And so here now I'm going down the road like a front end loader on the back, you know, heavy load. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Don't let me tear up no mailboxes. Don't let me, I'm going out the gate. Like, Lord, don't let me tear the gate up. Don't let me hit these cars. Lord, help me stop in this red line.
Yes, all the way.
You say, preach, that's just because you weren't used to it. After you get used to it for a while, you won't be like that so much. You know what? That's a shame, isn't it? Now, I don't need Jesus no more. I got it now, Lord. Until you go to pick up a trailer, and the guys loading the trailer are very wise. Put all the light stuff right up front. And then they wait and they load up the heavy concrete stuff right at the back end of the trailer, the very last part of it. So you're riding down. You're like, man, this thing is a little fishtail. I'm like, get out and check the tires. Like, the tires are fine. What in the world is going on? And so, you know, you're going pretty good. It's not too bad. And then you go to get up on I-95, and you know they're not going 45 up there. So, what do? You hit the gas. I hit the gas, and all of a sudden, I'm going, and it's like, I'm talking about I-95 north. Trailers covering all lanes. Until I feel the truck going, tipping over. I'm thinking, man, I'm about to roll over. Thank God the trailer finally snapped off. Now I'm on the side of the road. The truck messed up. The trailer tore to pieces. And I remember something. You know why I didn't pray? I'd been doing it quite a while since at that time. In fact, I relied on information that Bruce and others gave me. When it starts fishtailing, what do? They said, punch it. That's what they said. Punch it. If it starts fishtailing, you punch it. Guess what I did? I punched it. Guess what I didn't know? That's not one of those occasions that you punch it on there. You punch it when you're going downhill and it starts fishtailing. You give it gas so you can straighten it out. You don't punch it when you're going 35 and 45 and you're trying to get in traffic and it starts. You stop when it's doing that. If we're deficient, if I'm deficient in any area, when I talk to you about prayer, I'm talking about a life of prayer. I'm talking about having a continual fellowship with God. Jesus even said here, if you're bearing fruit, guess what he's going to do? He's going to come along, the Father is, and he's going to take stuff away out of your life. Why would God do that? So you can bear more fruit. I said, preacher, I do have fellowship with God. Guess what God's not satisfied with? He wants you to have more fellowship. Prayer is not just getting up in the morning, reading your Bible, and going through a list. The end goal of prayer, is constant fellowship with God. That's what God wants from every single one of us. And you say, preacher, I just can't see where that's possible. I think God could help us, don't you?
Yeah,
yeah. He created us to have fellowship with Him, and He don't want us just to have fellowship with Him 20 minutes in the morning and then live the rest of the day like He don't exist. He wants us to have more and more and more fellowship with Him. Work on that. Amen? Let God change you. Meet this need in your life. I pray that He meets it in my life as well. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for working in us, Lord. Showing us that we constantly need You. Sometimes we're at the store and someone's irritated at us for no reason. What is going on? And we ought to be praying. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to call on Your name. Give me wisdom in this. Lord, a multitude of other decisions come our way constantly. Teach us, God, to shoot up prayers to heaven. Call upon Your name, Jesus, and get Your help. Lord, would You help all of us to have better fellowship with You,
yes.
Increased fellowship with You.
Yes.
Lord, help us to reach a place in our Christian life that we may have constant fellowship with You.
Yes.
Lord, during this invitation, we ask that You would just have Your way. If You would speak to hearts, people that need to pray and ask for Your help in this area or do business with You about a sin that's keeping them from getting prayers answered or whatever the case, if they're lost, they need to be saved, then help them to come this morning. Realize that they're coming to You and God, they can get some help from You. Meet their needs this morning. Help us, God, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 505. 505. If you need to come for prayer, would you please come? 505.